Take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis 25. I'd like to deal with verses 7 to 10. The scripture declares, "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man in full of years, and was gathered to his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife." You know, it's amazing how quickly a man's, woman's life can be summed up. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Here the Spirit of God declares our very ignorance of even the next moment. We don't know. For what is your life? Now, there's a question. What is your life? Actually, a believer realizes it to be a continual day of trials, heaviness, fleeting moments of quiet, But realizing the next trial of tribulation's there. Man is born of trouble. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away." That's a truth that we all witness the older we get. How quickly. I always remember, Mitch, what you said about somebody telling you that time always seemed faster. You never believed them until you got older. And said, "Now I think they're right. I think you're right. It's fast." Abraham died. But even in Abraham's death, as in every man to whom the Lord's been pleased to show mercy, we behold the omniscience and the power, sovereignty of our God. The Lord had told Abraham in Genesis 15:15, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." You know, a believer notices those words like that. You shall, you will, I will, you shall. God is certain. The Lord was going to keep him. "You shall go to thy fathers in peace." Now, you know what we say? If the Lord wills. The Lord says you will. He orders all things. And Abraham died just exactly the way the Lord told him he'd die. He died in peace, died and went to his people. Why? Because the Lord kept him. The Lord kept him. Abraham died, and he died in the faith, child of God. The times of the Lord for his people are in his hands. Abraham, it was revealed, these are the days Isn't it amazing how the scripture writes just exactly? These are the days of the years of Abraham's life. He lived 175 years and he died. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, an amazing truth set forth in this verse of scripture about how he died. The scripture says Abraham gave up the ghost. He breathed his last breath and died in a good old age. He breathed his last breath. I can't help. I'll share this with you. It's personal for all of us. Anyone listening, I'll just share with you too. Gary and I was there with Granny. I told you this. And as she was preparing for the Lord to take her home, I just watched her, and her breathing got more shallow and more shallow, and she'd stop, and she'd take another breath. And I just waited, Neil. I just waited. That's all I could do. He gave up the ghost. He breathed, that's it. He breathed his last breath and died in a good old age. He died, and his death was a good thing. It's a good thing. Dying is part of living. That's just part of life. We're going to die. He died in a good old age. And as I was looking up these words, he died in a good old age. He died gray-headed with hoary hair, an old man, an elder man who was preserved and was ready by the grace of God to die. He was ready to die. Makes me think of Paul the Apostle. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Laid up for me in glory a crown of righteousness, which God will give not only to him, but to everyone that believes. He died in a good old age. But in Abraham's death, I mean, the scriptures, I looked at these few verses right here, 7 to 10, four verses of scripture, and the significance of dying. We need to realize we're going to die. We're going to leave this world. And in Abraham's death, we're reminded of the value that the Lord places upon such a time. This is a verse of scripture that's read many times at funerals. Psalm 116, 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Valuable is what that word means. It's precious. It's valuable. Valuable in the sight of the Lord. Valuable because the one that has left this world in faith was one that has been everlastingly loved of God. The Lord's always loved him. If he died in Christ, died in the faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God loved him. He loved us before we loved him. We love him because he loved us first. Precious in the sight of the Lord because the Lord loves him. Precious because of the inestimable price. No value can be put upon it. The price that was paid for their redemption. The blood, Acts 20:28, the blood of God. The blood of God. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. It's precious when the Lord receives one of his own. It's precious because they're trophies of his grace, his sustaining compassion and power, that they've been kept. I mean, dug out of the same pit, delivered from the bondage of sin and death. Satan, God, the strong man, comes in and binds a strong man, one stronger than him, stronger than the devil, and binds him and takes him. Why, they're his. He fell in sin, but they never fell from Christ. Never fell from being in him. They've always been in him. And now the Lord receives them to himself. And they leave this world believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's precious. That's precious because they're kept by the power of God. To a child of God, the certainty of death is always with us. We expect it. Don't we? We do. There's an old man with us that you know, the thought of death is just, he doesn't want to think about that. But we know this. We know that we're going to die. Apostle Paul said in Acts 21:13, then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" Paul was going to Jerusalem, and there would be those that would tell him, say, "The Spirit of God's laid upon my heart to tell you, you're going to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound, you're going to be dying, if you go to Jerusalem," and this is where he's coming from. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and break mine heart, telling me this? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." He knew that the time of his departure was totally in the hands of the Lord. There's a time to be born, a time to die, and Paul knew that daily he may suffer and die, being a martyr. He knew that. And so knowing that the Lord had chosen him in Christ, had called him by grace and commissioned him, it gave him a heart to obey. And Paul said, I'm ready. This is what the Lord called me to do. And I'm going. I'm ready. He said, I die daily. Meaning this is an expected thing. So we know that we're going to die physically. And we know that we expect it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So the actual calling of the saints unto the Lord is precious because of that. Because the Lord has chosen them and called them to himself. But they've also been delivered and are dead in another way. They're dead also indeed to sin. That's what Scripture says. Dead to sin. Dead to sin because they've been pardoned by the merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death has no more dominion over them. Sin has no more dominion over them. They're dead to it. So we don't fear the condemnation of it. A believer doesn't fear. Here's what a believer believes. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't fear condemnation. They believe God. I mean, when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being made sin, a believer believes it. Believe that. I believe that when he went to the cross, he bore all the guilt, past, present, future, all of it. You think he knows what I'm going to do tomorrow? Do you think he knows what I'm going to think in an unkind, unhonoring way? You think he knows? He knows it. Has he paid for it? Yes, he paid for it. He bore it in his own body. He put it away. Put away the debt of it. Paul says, I'm dead indeed to sin. It doesn't have dominion over me. We're dead to sin because there's a new man that has no fellowship with it. Paul said in Romans 7, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I see it. to will is present with him, but how to accomplish that, which he's got two men there talking about two different men. And he said, this sin, I'm dead to it. I have no desire to be catering to it. That's the new man talking. But that old man, oh, there's a battle. So Abraham gave up the ghost, and he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, there, in a sense, I know that men in general, we're all going to die, and you can say that there is a common lot of all mankind who must die. We're all going to die. But our verse of Scripture, you know this, would certainly refer more to the state of Abraham dying in the faith, dying in Christ. He would now go to be with the Lord and be in the company of all the saints of God, as Abraham certainly was. I want you to hold your place here and turn over. Abraham was a believer. You know that. But you know how we know it? God told us that he was. Look at Hebrews 11. You know, I heard somebody ask Brother Henry one time, you think so-and-so was a believer? Henry said, I don't know. He said, give me 20 years. He said, I'll maybe have a little bit better idea. But he said, I don't know. But the Lord knows. Listen to what the Lord said concerning Abraham. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham. Now you know what? If that's all we knew, Bear, if that was it, we know this. By faith, it's given unto you to believe. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham knew God. God had given him faith to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Abraham, the scripture declares, departed this world and was gathered to his people, to people of like faith with him, yes, but to the Lord's people too. Here's what scripture says concerning his people. Exodus 19, I'll read these to you. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. They're a peculiar treasure unto the Lord above all people. A kingdom of priests and holy nation. Gathered together, gathered to his people. Those of God's choosing. That's who he was called to be gathered with. Deuteronomy 14:2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar, a shut up people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. People that are weak in themselves, but strong in the Lord. They trust the Lord. Paul said, when I'm weak, when I realize my weakness, that's when I'm strong. Because that's when a man cast himself upon the mercy of God. God blesses him, allows him to realize something of his weakness. Those who've been reconciled to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the description of them. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What I just read. He's going to bless his people. And that's, what a blessing to be able to just settle down. You ever have something that just inside just turmoil, worry about this, worry about this. And then all the while I'll be telling myself, and this is me, I know you don't do it like this, but this is how I do it. I'm worried about something. I tell myself, now look, it's not going to do a bit of good for you to keep worrying about it. You know, that usually don't even help me. Just keep doing it. Peace. Just be, the Lord will bless his people with peace. When God's judgment spewed out upon Egypt, the Lord protected and he led his people. Here's the people. Here's the type of people that Abraham was gathered to. Psalm 78, 50 to 52. He made a way to his anger. Talking about when they were coming out from the Egyptians. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Boy, I'm telling you, these people, the people of God, they're watched over. They're watched over by the Lord. These are people that's forever going to be with the Lord. Father, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, was gathered to his people, the last two verses, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried and his wife, and Sarah, his wife. Now these last two verses for tonight deal with the mercy that is shown a man that God has loved. God was merciful to Abraham, and he blessed Abraham, and he kept Abraham until the day of his departure. I think about, I'm looking out at this congregation of people, and I'm thinking, what mercy. What mercy. There's some of you, I'm still the, and I feel like this. I'm still the new kid on the block. I've been almost 20 years. But I still see myself as that way. But I see many of you that have been here, grew up here, just from your youth. And you're still here. You're still here. That's a miracle of God's grace. That was the way that this man died. His two sons, says Abraham, had these two boys, Ishmael and Isaac, and what they did was they exhibited a spirit of respect to their dad, a spirit of affection for him and for one another. This is all that there's. I know, you know, Ishmael and Isaac and the animosity that was all there, and Sarah and wanted them expelled and all. But the Spirit of God didn't bring any of that up. And I looked at that, and that impressed me. That impressed my heart, and I thought about, you know, that we might note the concerning these two men, Isaac and Ishmael, their dad's funeral, is always hope and reason for reconciliation. Without a doubt, I'm sure Ishmael surely considered the inheritance that Isaac received over him. Isaac was God's choice. But concerning the honor and the type and the spirit, in the shadow, the picture of what was happening right there. Here was Abraham, who had died and being buried in the cave of Machpelah. When we studied that, that was that cave that, you remember, Abraham, they wanted to give it to him. I'll give it to you. That's what the owners said. We'll give it to you. Look, no. We don't have to worry about money. We'll give it. And Abraham said, no, I want to know what the fair market value is of that piece of property. What is it? Well, it's 400 shekels of silver. Counted him out the money. He in picture and type, what did it cost for that final rest, that place of rest? What did it cost for a believer to be buried and found in Christ? What did it cost? It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll pay the fair market value. I'll pay it. And that's where it, and that being buried in that cave, in the cave of Machpelah, that was a picture of the purchase price being paid for that eternal place of rest. He was buried in that, yes, but the picture of it, the type of it, there in that place which we behold as being found eternally at peace and in rest with Christ. That was the issue. That was the issue. And that's where the Spirit of God left it. Those two boys, they showed respect. And we do too. For the resting found in our precious Savior. For His glory and our good.